Hallelujah.
This morning we want to talk about the subject of endurance and staying in a place of enduring prayer and staying in a place of quoting the promises, speaking the word, and not quitting. For us to do that, we want to read a rather long prophecy. It came many years ago in 1989. It was one of the first prophecies that was ever came out of the Family Prayer Center in Tulsa by Pastor Dave Roberson, and it's on their website. We have it in our back, posted back there or on the shelf where you can pick it up. We're going to go ahead and pass those out. We're going to go through those a little bit this morning, and then we're going to go into some scripture. Hallelujah. So make sure you get a copy. Endurance Prophecy. This is March 2nd, 1989. It says the first meeting in the prayer center. I don't think that was in the actual building that we knew for years. I may stand corrected on that. But I saw this yesterday and I felt like this is where I wanted to start this. I pray the Lord just begins to minister this to you and continues to inevitably stamp inside of you a sense of endurance for all of you that are on this walk with us and enduring prayer, enduring march towards revival. Now, this is going to be, I don't want to lose you, but you look, sorry for all of you that are watching. You can go to their Dave Roberson's website and go to their prophecies. How do they pick that up, Candy? Endurance prophecy search, and it should come up for you pretty quickly. Hallelujah. So, Father, we worship you. Abba, we love you. We glorify you. We do nothing except what we believe and trust in you. And we ask you this morning to guide us and lead us and continue to place in us, Father, those things that you have placed in us from the very beginning. Father, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. Put all our trust in you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. And everybody said, amen. The Spirit of the Lord said this, when you have done all you know to do to stand, stand therefore, says the Spirit of grace. For truly I desire by my power to shake this place, for taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watch and begin. And again, I say, when you have done all you know to do, stand. Stand. Now, he's not talking about physically. He's saying continue to endure. Stand, therefore. The key word shall be endurance. Endurance, says the Spirit of grace. For I will teach you by my power and by my Spirit how to keep building in power until your endurance will produce my desired will in this place. Now, I want us to see as we read this is that this was not only a prophecy 30-something years ago, it's a prophecy to us right now. Because once we get done with this, and we're not going to go through this morning, but on the back of this same sheet, you have a personalized confession statement. I'm going to ask you to take these home, and I'm going to ask you to do these often. Speak these things often as you're having your prayer time with the Lord. For I will train you. We've been in a training process for quite some time, says the Spirit of grace, about the snares and the traps of the enemy. For if you will pray and make it past those hard places, you know, what are those hard places? Whatever it is that the enemy is using to distract you. Could be physical, the lie of physical infirmities, finances, relational things, just the things that are coming. And we're going to talk about endurance this morning in Scripture. I will give you divine wisdom and understanding that will last and produce the kind of power that you can say is of me. For my miracles do I desire to pour out on you. I desire to shake this city and train many people before this first phase of what I want to do is through. So gird yourself. Gird yourself up and be strong on my behalf. For I will show you some things by my Spirit that you can have for eternity. They will last. So I'm giving you equipment that will work a great reward. For many of you are hungry and have desired to see these things, and I will lead you into that kind of reward. So be brave. Look at your neighbor and say, be brave. Be brave and stand strong, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. I'll work mighty, mighty miracles before this is done. You'll not lose your place, for your reward shall be exceedingly great. So heed what the Spirit would say. For something new I begin this day. Great peace is my desire for you, that you may fellowship with me in love, and that I can filter through and through your life. I desire to take you from where you are to a place with me, a place that you have known about way down in your spirit, that from the foundation of the world I've prepared for you. Now, as you continue to pray the mysteries, those of you that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and edify yourself. When he says, I have prepared a place that you've known about, you say, well, how did I know about it? Well, you know about it because he's witnessing it to you. And if you're praying the mysteries, I will just tell you this, those of you that are not filled with the Spirit, you're invited always to come up. We'll lay hands on you, pray for you. If you're born again, that's the qualifier to be filled with the Spirit. But praying the mysteries will continually place you in a place where the Holy Spirit is, he's praying the things out in front of us. And those things out in front of us are the mysteries of revival. You know, you got here wherever, if you've been praying the mysteries, you got here by him praying you into this place. Your divine destiny was to come here and be a part. And so your praying continually brought you to this place. It'll bring you to where you're supposed to be 5 years from now, 2 years from now. So we continue to pray the mysteries, and there's something resounding on the inside of each one of us that the Holy Spirit is saying to us, this is truth. Stay at it. The things that come at us, the things that you're fighting today, I don't know what you're fighting. What is, you don't have to stand and tell us. Well, it's my husband. Well, it's my wife. No, you think it is. That's the mirage. Actually, you know, the enemy doesn't like you at all. But it's not really about you. It's about your authority. He's not really after you. He's after you, all right, but he's not really after you. He's wanting to shut you up. He's wanting to stop you from continuing to pray and to speak the mysteries and pray in the Spirit. So the Holy Spirit said, so I will lead you from place to place. I desire to flow through you with my grace. And if you'll edify, you know, this is speaking in the Spirit, and edify yourself, you will see before this is through, I will purge you from everything that is causing you to fail. You will not only taste the victory that change can bring, but you will taste the victory of the resounding peace inside you that will dominate everything in a circumference around you. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:15, I believe it is. The word says, and I like the way the Amplified Classic says it, let the peace of God act as an umpire, settling with finality all thoughts that arise in the heart and the mind. If you continue to pray in the Spirit and trust Him, then even before you get to the place where the thing is done, that the Holy Spirit, you know what an umpire is? He calls the balls, he calls the strikes. But the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you bearing witness with truth. And His truth is not only, the Word of God says this, when the Spirit of truth is come, which is the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all truth. Well, we know that primarily and first and foremost, He's speaking concerning the Word of God. But that's not, it's not limited to that. The truth of everything that God has prescribed for your life going forward. And the Holy Spirit, that how does he speak to us? Well, He speaks to us through His Word. He speaks to us through an inward voice, but primarily He acts as an umpire, settling with finality every thought that could arise in the heart and the mind, and saying, if you'll follow this, let your feet be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And if you'll follow peace, you'll follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, for edification, edification, higher and higher and higher in me, that you will complete the first foundation of your life, that I might be able to move you into intercession, that you can cause those who are bound to be set free. For Satan is furious. Well, I think so, says the Spirit of grace. He already is mad as a whirlwind is stirring up the demons against this place. But stand fast and edify yourself into a place with me. And when the storm comes, oh, you will be able to deliver the power that is of me. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. So be glad for the wellspring of life and the counsel in the heart of man. I will draw it out. For there are many things in wisdom that I desire you to understand, and I will teach you to walk in power for my children. The things between that I desire and what is now taking place is being purged every hour. Many people come to this city, and it's not just then Tulsa, but Immokalee we're speaking of, and wherever you're at, this is applicable to you, for training. You see, and oh, I desire to give them full training that they may leave walking in power. So all of you who said, I hunger and thirst after righteousness, you shall be full. For I will bring you into a place with me. Yes, I will bring you into a place with me. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Well, turn with me just for a little bit for... let's go into the Word. I want us to look at how God employs His wisdom concerning us enduring with joy during tests and trials. Hallelujah. Father, we worship You. Thank You for Your Word. We put all our trust in You, Father. We pray that in all these things, Lord, as we look to You, and as You guide us in these things, that You're continually leading us, Father. And we thank You and we praise You, for all our trust is in You, Father. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Romans 5, verse 1. This is Paul, and he's teaching us how to employ. I like this. I like these because I have a certain way that I think about these things, and it helps my mind. As we're talking about trial, and I said, whatever your particular test. Now, in particular, let's keep this in context. When Paul is talking about the particular trials that they were going through, it's really, you're just not going to miss it if you understand this, that he is particularly speaking about persecution for righteousness' sake. Yes, the enemy will bring things like sickness, emotional trauma, different things to your life. We are never to endure those things. We are to endure them. In other words, keep fighting till you win. But there, don't think that God sent it so you're supposed to put up with it. You're not supposed to put up with it. When should it leave? Well, about 5 minutes before it started. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And if you have an immediate kind of understanding that, those things are not permissible, even when they seem permissible, they are not permissible. But let's take an enduring look at, okay, so we're in the thing. We know it's a lie. We know it's as Homer says, it's a mirage. How do we employ the wisdom of God to get past certain things? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. This is verse 1. And he's in chapter 4, he's talking about the faith of Abraham. And so he's really talking about the gospel and those things concerning the truth of God's word concerning the gospel. That's really the context of this. And he says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Now, when he talks about this grace, he's not just talking about the grace that will cause you to endure. Primarily, he's talking about this grace, the grace of the gospel, the truth of the gospel, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. What? We glory in tribulation. The first way, the thing to do is to begin to say, Lord, whatever this is coming at me, I'm going to take glory, not thanking you for it. Please don't thank God for your trials. The word doesn't say that. It says, praise God in the midst of your trials. It says, thank God, praise God in all things, in the midst of all things, not for all things. Hallelujah. Well, I've been sick lately. I just praise God for it. He's trying to teach me a lesson. You're listening to a devil. But he says, not only so, but we glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation, the word tribulation here in the Greek, one of the words is pressure. Pressure against us. It says here that knowing that tribulation worketh patience. The word worketh here is interesting. I don't want to misconstrue it with my own vernacular, but I do want to say this. It helps me to understand this, and I don't think I'm taking some liberty, I should say, to say this, but I think it doesn't get out of line with the word worketh here is to work fully, or to, we could say it like this for our understanding, to employ. You know what an employee is? It's someone you go and you hire. And you bring that employee into your business or your workplace so that they will profit you. And so Paul is talking about here, and this is a good way for us to understand this, is that when you run into tribulation or you run into, you know, the test that is trying to take you out of the way, one of the things that he gives a step-by-step employment. And if you'll employ these certain employees and hold fast to them, they'll bring you to the other side. Can you say amen? He says here that tribulation worketh patience. So the first thing that tribulation does, it employs patience. And the word patience here is the word hupomene, and that doesn't mean anything to you. But it is the word that we've mentioned several times before. It means endurance. It means consistency. So I'm tribulation. Okay. The first thing that when you run into me, what are you going to do? You punch him in the mouth. You're going to glory in the midst of it. But then you're going to go and you're going to say, hey, wait a minute. I need an employee here. I need a chain that is working on my behalf. Okay, so patience, come here. So I employ, I go out and hire the glory. We glory in tribulation, also knowing that tribulation, pressure, worketh or employs patience. It's cheerful. It's a cheerful patience. Aren't you scared of me? He's not scared at all. Because he knows this, that he's going to stay cheerful and hopeful endurance. What does that mean? It means, okay, something's come at me. And the first thing I need to know is I need to employ patience. And patience is hopeful consistency, or it is consistency, endurance. What does that mean? Whatever comes to rock my world today, it has come to get me off routine. Routine is good if you've learned the habits of continuing to pray and stay consistent. And what you want to understand is, whatever is trying to take me out today, I'm going to get up today. Before, yesterday this wasn't here, but today it is. But I'm going to get up and I'm going to put my big boy pants on, or my big girl pants on, and stay consistent even if I don't feel it. And that is the first step in employing consistency. And this is leading me out of the trial. Hallelujah. Stay here. The key is developing a godly routine, godly habits. And patience, you could put, it doesn't say this word employs, but the mindset is of the same thing, that it just goes into each one of these. And patience employs experience. Okay? So you're supposed to employ somebody. Okay. He's employing. Stand over there with your brother. Don't make him look short. And patience has then reached out to experience. In other words, there's a development by the Holy Spirit inside of you, by the Word of God. Okay, I'm going to stay, I don't feel like it, but I'm going to stay consistent. I'm going to stay consistently patient. Hallelujah. And as a result of that, it employs handsome experience. Hallelujah. And the word experience here is the word trustedness. It means this, to trust in. It means, the best way that I can say that is this, is that I trust in God. In this, I know that experience teaches me this. I've employed experience. Experience teaches me this, that the last time I went through anything, God did not let me down. Amen. And if he did not let me down 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 6 months ago, he won't let me down again. Amen. So I hug experience real good, well, and say, experience, I'll lay me down to sleep. And the peace of God is that somehow, as we often say, this too shall pass. Amen. Glory to God. So Paul says this. It's a trustedness. The Greek says trustedness. God did not, in the last time, let me down. Neither will he now. And what is it? Dave used to say, and I like the way that Pastor Dave would say this. He'd say, what is it that inside of you that says, I'm going to quit. I'm going to stop praying. This isn't working. And then 3 days later, 4 days later, you're like, I can't stop. It won't let you. There's something, there's a dynamo on the inside of you. Now, this is why it's so important to pray a lot in the Holy Spirit, is because when you come to the end of yourself, he's there. Say, that's it. I'm done. And he's like, no, you're not done. Because I won't let you get done. Hallelujah. God did it the last time. He'll do it again this time. An experience then employs hope. Can you find hope? Okay. Oh, now we get some beauty up here. So, godly hope. What is hope? Hope is not... So, the individual begins to glory. You say, wait a minute, I'm going through something. I need to just... Don't lose the reality of staying consistent. And if I do that, then it's going to continually bring me to a place where I know that the last time I went through it, God was there, and He's going to be there again. And then something begins to happen inside of you. A seed begins to grow in the midst of your test and trial so that it brings you to this. I can do that. That's my daughter. She's beautiful like her mom. It brings you to a place of hope. Now, hope in the Greek and the hope in the New Testament word, it's the building blocks of faith, but it is not so oftentimes people will misconstrue hope and they'll think hope means I'm wishing for something. Mm-hmm. It really means expectation. It means a godly expectation. In other words, there's something inside of me that is saying this because He did not let me down. I'm being consistent in all these things. I've employed these things. Hope says this. I can see this. I begin to see it in my spirit. I begin to imagine it. It's a reality. Hope, you can get a little closer. Okay. Thank you. It's a consistency believing that hope will bring you to the end of this. It's not a wish. It's a godly expectation. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. And the word says that the last to be employed is none other than the greatest of all, in which Amber is going to pick Davy to bring her up here. I didn't know that, but she just told me that when I was standing there. It's the love of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. So when the love of God is, the word said, every one of these employs patience, consistency employs experience. Experience employs hope. But hope transitions over into the love of God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Kiss her too. She's mine also. And the love of God, it says, is shed abroad in our hearts. It's like, I want to say, my thought was it's like peanut butter spread over your. But it's more than that. The word in the Greek says it gushes out. And perfect love casts out all fear. Is God going to be with me throughout the rest of this? Absolutely. He never fails. Hallelujah. The word says in 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what? This is the greatest. This is where we're going to end the trial. We'll say, Lord, and if you can go overnight from patience to love, that's where we're supposed to be. Because the love of God causes you to know it's all going to be okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give him a great big hand. Praise God. Did that example help you? Praise God. Paul's testimony. Let's look at Paul's testimony of some of the things that he went through himself. We've looked at these before in the past. But 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, and again, we're talking about the ministry here. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not. What does it mean, faint? Not physically pass out, but I'm not going to stop.
We have renounced, Paul said, the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God, little g, and he is little g, God of this world, hath blinded the minds of them that which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The thing that we're speaking over, and we'll speak over it again tonight, Miss Gay, you guys going to be able to be here, as far as you know, tonight? Or you guys, okay, maybe not. Okay, so we only got a few on Sunday night right now. We'll let you know. I'll listen to the Holy Spirit before the service is over. But what is the shroud over Immokalee that we're wanting to break? It's a covering. The enemy, the devil, Satan, is not here maybe himself, but there's a lot of spiritual warfare that shrouds the minds of people so they can't see the truth. Our job in the spirit is to continue to confess, continue to pray, continue to stand in the place of prayer until we break these powers. And when this revival, it's like, what do we continue to say? What must I do to be saved? That's the thing that we're believing God, that there's such a, that the shroud is broken. And the Holy Spirit places, he goes into the wherever, and before they ever get here or any church in town, listen, there's going to be a lot of people. I pray the Baptist church is full. I pray the Methodist church is full if they preach the gospel and not involved in crazy stuff. But hallelujah. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. For we have this treasure. What treasure? Well, he's really kind of talking about the treasure of the gospel. But you can personalize this, and I don't think it's to take it really out of context to know that the treasure is the life of Christ in us. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Paul said this, we are troubled on every side. Now, this is his, and I like reading after Paul, because I can tell you, I can identify with, you know, stuff and say, thank you. Yes, Jesus, you're my prototype. Thank you that there was a man. Well, you was a man. Jesus was a man too. But there was a man after you that took your words and followed you, and he succeeded against all the onslaught of the enemy. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. The word perplexed there in the Greek means there's no way out. Have you ever come to a place where there was an impasse and you're like, okay, I thought this was going to turn out differently. Hallelujah. I thought this was going to be one way and it's not. And Paul said we are oftentimes perplexed. In other words, I really don't understand right now. You hear that echo? I really don't understand right now what is going on. Perplexed. It's God's not the author of confusion, but for a period of time, sometimes you're like, why is this like it is? But Paul said this, in the midst of being perplexed and not understanding at the time what's going on, we're not in despair. Hallelujah. What that means is, Lord, until the perplexation takes it leaves and it all, okay, now God, it makes sense. I see from the beginning to the end now what you are doing. That I rest in the place where I'm not perplexed. I'm resting in the peace of God, or not in despair. I'm in the peace of God. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down. The word cast down in the Greek means that Paul said this. He said the word cast down means thrown down, or could be said thrown down hard. In other words, you felt by what you just experienced, it took the breath out of you. But get up. Employ consistency that brings forth a sense of expectation, hope, and then the love of God. Persecuted, but not forsaken, cast down, to throw down, but not destroyed. In other words, in all of these things, Paul kept saying this, for some odd reason, it's not an odd reason, it's God, I just keep getting back up. Hallelujah. That's you. That's your life. That's the prophecy that we just read this morning. That's the prophecy I'm asking you to take home with you and read. I'm going to read this. I'm going to say this out loud, so then I got to do it. I'm going to read it every day for the next couple of weeks. Hallelujah. At least. It's good for all of us. It's our position of strength. This is our position of strength. Always bearing about in the body, our physical body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus Christ might be made manifest in our body. Are you looking at it with me? Always bearing about in the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're not dying as he died on the cross, but we're dying as in fashion, in the sense of the word, that we're giving up our rights. Now, God wants you to, I hope you understand that we're saying die to self. We're not talking about you losing ambition. God's called you to succeed. Do you understand that? Success, because we're dying, success is not a bad word. It's God's blessing on your life. He wants you to prosper. He wants you to be blessed. But at the same time, he wants it under the auspices or under the umbrella of, Lord, my life is not my own. I'm yielding myself to you on a continual basis. That is the dying of the Lord Jesus, a continual process of giving ourselves over to the power of Holy Spirit so that death is working in us. You've heard me say this before. The more we die, the more we live. Well, I appreciate your ambition. Hallelujah. And it's wonderful. But when I walk into a room, this is my desire. I desire that people see Christ rather than hear me. It's good to have a personality. I like people with personality. That's great. And it's great to be able to be funny. It's good to you know, have a self-awareness that, you know, you shouldn't feel like you're scum of the earth. You should feel good about yourself. But at the same time, they should feel an essence like, this person cares about me. They're not so ambitious about themselves. They care about me, and that love, that's the love of God working through them. Verse 11 says this, for we which live are always, or not always, alway, all the way. Everybody say all the way. It's not, it doesn't say alway, but it says are always. It says alway, or all the way, delivered unto death, for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Tap your arm. Hallelujah. Say, Holy Ghost lives in there. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. Hallelujah. So Paul said, death is working in us. Self-ambition is going, but life is working in you as in a result of the life that is coming through us. Life is working in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written. I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, he says, that the abundance of grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. Hallelujah. So go to that place continually on a daily basis, having your inward man continually being renewed. For I like this. He said this in all these things that he named previously, persecuted, perplexed, not forsaken, all those things. He says this, for our light affliction. Everybody say light affliction. So that's really light. Everybody say that's really light compared to what we're going to receive. Hallelujah. For which is but a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Hallelujah. For while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hallelujah. Are you getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. We bless God. Paul is commanded or was given a spiritual or a death sentence to hold the ground. I want to leave us with this when we've read this before. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. Second Corinthians chapter 1, this is a time in Paul's life where he was in Asia. I don't know exactly what he was going through, what was happening. But he received this commandment from the Holy Spirit. He was in a strait. He was in he was continually in difficult places. But he says here, for we would not, he's writing to the Corinthian church, and he said, brethren, that have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia. He's writing about something that happened in Asia. That we were pressed out of measure above strength. In other words, they came to a place where their strength was exasperated. There was and you're talking about endurance. Here's a place where they're totally exasperated, totally at the end of themselves. And Paul identified with that, wrote that to the Corinthian church, inasmuch as we despaired even for life. He's like, we were hanging on to the edge of life every moment, not knowing what was next. But we had the sentence of death, he said, in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Now, when he's talking about the sentence of death, he's talking about that he had received something from the Lord that caused him to be able to look at disparity, whatever it was, and say, I'm going through this. Because even in things concerning life and death, Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit equivocate. They believe that the real you is the spiritual you, and you're eternal. Now, it's good. He wants to keep you on the planet. But I like the way that Jesus talks, and so sometimes I'm like, really? He says, they're going to put you to death. He's talking about tribulation and different things in the tribulation. He says, they will put you to death. They will put you to death. But don't worry. Now I'm paraphrasing, because not a hair of your head will be harmed. And I'm thinking, well, if I die, that's more than my hair being harmed. You can keep my hair. But Jesus said, don't worry about it. Not a hair of your head will be harmed. He's talking about your spiritual being. And Paul said, we had this. This was a sentence. In other words, it was God gave them this command and said, this is the sentence. This, the judge of heaven is telling you this. The sentence of death is this. Paul said, we were in this place of perplexity. It's just like, and you've heard me say this before, I got to give Gary Carpenter the credit for it. I shouldn't do that because I've already given it to him several times. I should just keep it like I said it myself for the first time. It's like somebody in a front of fighting. And they're like, we're going to die if we stay here any much longer. A front, you know, an army front. We're going to die. And if we just keep going forward, we need help because there's more of them than us. And so they radio back and they say, look, and they're thinking we're going to get a sentence of, yeah, you know, fall back. I'd have to ask Damien what those words would actually be. But They're thinking, we're going to get a sentence of fall back. You're good. We don't want you. And he said, we had the sentence. It was like this. We called back and said, can we retreat? But the sentence of death was this. Keep marching forward. At all cost. And they got that sentence of death. And Paul said, we adopted that. We put it in us. And therefore, we do not fear. We received it and said, okay, our commander-in-chief said, don't stop. I'll be with you. Hallelujah. Continued to endure. And Paul said, because we had the sentence of death inside of us, he told us, commander-in-chief Jesus told us, keep going forward. He said this, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Hallelujah. Who delivered us from so great a death and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Hallelujah. Praise God. We endure. Hallelujah. And we continue to endure. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. Be here next week. Hallelujah. Be here Wednesday. Hallelujah. Praise God. Did you get something this morning? Amen. We worship you, Jesus. Father, we love you. Abba, God. We love you and we worship you. You are our Lord. You are our Father. Bless now your people. Cause them to go out of this place full of spirit and of truth. Keep these words inside of us. And Lord, bring us back at the appointed time. We give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. I think we'll be off again tonight, hallelujah, and rest. And conference starts next week, so hallelujah, amen. God bless you.